It may be even more difficult to stand strong for faith, though, when our family relationships are threatened. The first chapter of Job tells us about Job losing his children and his wealth. In chapter 2 and verses 7 through 10, we find that Job lost even more. It says, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head." I can't even imagine that, can you? I mean, we've seen people in pictures in faraway countries that have experienced something like that, but we don't see that kind of thing here, and I doubt any of us have ever experienced anything quite like this. "Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes." That's a pretty brutal scene, isn't it? "His wife said to him, 'Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' In all this, Job did not sin in what he said." We may think, as we read about Job, not only in these early chapters, but as we continue on through this book, that Job is really a rock of faith in God. But as we read the following chapters, we find out that he's very human and that he struggles with his faith in God because Job did not understand what was going on. In fact, what we find is Job feels like he ought to have been exempt from all that he's going on through. We may think, in fact, that Job's wife is just a faithless shrew until we consider the emotional trauma that she's experienced in her losses. This woman has to be at least middle-aged, if not older. She's got adult children, have their own homes, and she's lost all of them in one fell swoop. Some of you here understand the loss of a child. You've been through it. It's devastating. You've experienced it with one child. Can you imagine all that she experienced with all of her children at one time? Whatever her faith in the past, at this point, she is spiritually broken. Who wouldn't be? All that this book tells us about Job says that this man has been devoted to God. And maybe his wife had been also. But their emotional stress strained the depth and the width and the strength of their faith, so that not only her faith, but Job's faith was severely weakened. Again, who of us would not be in the exact same place as they were? But there's a lesson here, a lesson that we must not miss. The strength of our faith in God depends upon our personal commitment to God and not the faith condition of our family. Let me say that again. The strength of our faith in God depends upon our personal commitment to God and not the faith condition of our family. Our faith begins as we learn about God's salvation through Jesus, about how God knew our need for forgiveness before he even created us, about God's plan of how he would save us, about how he brought about that plan, about his interactions with people. And we see from all of that that God is absolutely trustworthy to take care of us, all of us, in all of our troubles in life. That nothing can come about but that God is not aware and there to help us, to cause us to survive it, and to come out, if we maintain our faith in him, even stronger than we were before we entered it. When we learn what God has done to help distressed people, why do we have little faith? Why do we have little faith in God to provide for our basic necessities in life? Why do we have little faith in God to protect us? Why do we have little faith in God to do powerful humanly impossible things? Is it because our faith is not in God, but in what we see as our own resources, whether personally or jointly? Is it because we just don't see it as being possible that God or anybody or any power could do what God does? And the question has to come to us as we read through the Bible. What can God not do? What has God not done for people he cares about, for people who care about him? When has God not come to the rescue? In the most significant ways, as well as in some ways that seem so very small. And yet, the point is that God is always there. What causes us to be weak in faith? Maybe we need to think in terms of something that we can immediately relate to. What causes a muscle to be weak? It has to do with lack of use of that muscle and lack of intentionally working that muscle to make it stronger. Isn't the same true with our faith? What causes us to be weak in faith? Is it not a lack of belief in God's promises? Romans chapter 4, and in verses 18 on through 21, shows us that Abraham believed in God's unbelievable promises. We read, against all hope. Isn't that a crazy thing to say? Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. We ought to be able to say inwardly and outwardly, amen and praise God to that, shouldn't we? Abraham looked at his circumstances and said, no way. And God said, all the way. And he was, and he did. And Abraham experienced everything that God had promised him. What causes us to be weak in faith? Doesn't it have to do with becoming spiritually discouraged and dismayed by trouble in our lives so that we begin to question the nature of God? Job was really confronted with this kind of thing within his life. He was confronted with thoughts that you and I have, thoughts that you and I have to consider. Eliphaz the Temanite replied to him in Job chapter 4 in verses 1 through 5, if someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now, trouble comes to you, and you are discouraged. It strikes you, and you are dismayed. You know what this friend of Job's is really saying? Job, where's the faith that you talked about to other people? Where's the encouragement that you gave to other people? Where is this lightening of loads that you gave to other people? Don't you apply that to yourself? Isn't that true for you as much as for anyone else that you said it to? Were those just hollow words, Job? Or did you believe those? Believe them enough to apply them to yourself? So that now, when your time of trouble comes, you shouldn't be dismayed or discouraged. Because this faith that you've talked about to others ought to be in your life. It ought to be even stronger in your life than those that you've talked to and tried to encourage yourself. How can we have great faith in God? We have to believe in Jesus' supreme authority to overcome everything. In Matthew chapter 8, and there in verses 5 through 10, we read about this power of Jesus coming into people's lives. We read, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Wow. "Lord, you don't even have to show up at my house. I believe if you say it right here, he'll be healed right there, a long ways away. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For myself, I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." How can we have great faith in God? We have to humble ourselves to him, believing that his little can accomplish great things. As in Matthew 15 and in verses 21 through 28. We read, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.' Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.' 'Yes, Lord,' she said, 'but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." What strengthens our faith? The thing that strengthens our faith is the very thing that we don't want to go through to strengthen our faith, and that is testing. James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Someone has observed, "Faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is about being okay no matter how things turn out." That's why Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, assures Christians that because of our faith, we are able to rejoice in our sufferings for our faith. Victor Hugo, the writer of Les Miserables as well as others, wrote some encouraging and biblically true words when he said, "Courage for the great sorrows of life, and patience for the small ones. And then, when you have accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace, knowing that God is still awake." Boy, that puts faith right where it belongs, doesn't it? That puts God where he belongs, the rock that is immovable, that we can count on, that is always faithful to us, always caring about us, always taking care of us, because he cares so much about us. We'll grow in our faith in God, regardless of our family's faith condition, by devoting ourselves to prayer, by Bible study, learning about others who've struggled and struggled through with their faith, by stretching our faith, by imitating strong people of faith who we read about and who we know. and by seeking out spiritually encouraging people. It does no help for us. It does nothing for our faith to commiserate with people who are going to just amplify our woes, who are going to tell us, yeah, that's just terrible, that's just wrong, God wasn't taking care of you. We need to get ourselves around people who look at God constantly for their life, people who are spiritually encouraged and who encourage others. And you know people like that here, don't you? You know who to get yourself around to get your faith built up. People who are not flaky, people who are strong and deep in faith, people who will deepen and encourage and stretch and stabilize your faith. Harold B. Lee remarked, "The most important work you and I will ever do will be within the walls of our own homes." And so if you're a Christian and you're in a home that is not strong or that's not even Christian, your work, your primary work, is to do all you can to grow in faith yourself, to strengthen in your faith, to stabilize your faith, to be a virtue of faith to your family, and to encourage them in faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says that obedience comes from faith. Do you have faith in God to obey Him? To trust that what He asks of you is the best? If we can help you to grow in your faith, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand this song.